Everyone has a story. Everyone travels a road. Some of those roads are paved, some are gravel, some are a combination. Some are superhighways. Some of us have met with sharp turns, intersections, and delays. We travel at different speeds to different destinations. On this podcast, we talk about your road to now.
Welcome to Your Road to Now. Today I sit down with Andreas Lorkner. Did I get that right?
You betcha.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me today.
It's my pleasure, Jim. Yeah, awesome. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Why don't you just kind of give us a bit of a brief on you, just kind of like your elevator pitch, kind of like
sure.
Who Andreas is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am first and foremost a husband. I'm a father of two beautiful little girls. They're 5 and 7.
Awesome.
And for my career path, I am an automotive sales consultant with Valley Mitsubishi here in Kelowna, BC.
Awesome. So where did you, like, when did you come to Kelowna? Like, when did you arrive here in Kelowna?
I moved to Kelowna in 2006 after I had graduated high school in the beautiful, tiny little town of Nakusp, BC.
Oh, Nakusp.
Yeah, so I grew up in Fauquier, which is about 60 to 70 kilometers into the woods from Nakusp.
So Nakusp was the big city for you?
Yeah, 2,500 people is a big city when you're coming from a town of about 80.
So born where? In that area?
No, so I was born in Germany.
Oh, okay.
Moved to Canada. I was about 3 or 4 years old. Mm-hmm. We had moved to Ontario, and then from there we moved out west. And I moved around a lot as a little, really young. Mm-hmm. We ended up settling a little bit in Cherryville. My parents always found like the smallest towns, right? Cherryville, and then we ended up moving just, you know, over the Monchies to Fauquier. And so I call Fauquier kind of home.
So where you did your kind of like your school, elementary and high school kind
of
thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what was the draw to that? Is that your parents just wanted something kind of small town feel kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they just always wanted super, super small, super rural. They were entrepreneurs. They owned their own bakery. So they always wanted to be in a position where they could
German kinda baked goods. Who doesn't love that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Fresh. I was definitely spoiled because now I'll go into like one of these European bakeries and I'll have a taste and I'm like, this is fraud. No, it's good. Yeah.
So are they still there? Or?
I'm not really in touch. My mom passed away when I was quite young, and yeah, I'm not really in touch with my dad anymore. But yeah, that's kind of. And then so I ended up in Kelowna in 2006, and I felt like, I mean, as we're looking from the 16th floor of the landmark, how more beautiful of an area could you be in? So I decided I wanted to do everything I could to stay here, and then I eventually met my amazing wife here, and yeah, we've just decided. Kelowna's home.
Do you think that like growing up in a small town kind of instilled some of the values or shaped you a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of in being a parent now, you don't realize the freedoms that you get when you live in a really small town. Like it was normal for us to go camping when we're 13 years old and not talk to our parents for 3 or 4 days. Now it's like.
No, you wouldn't do that. Yeah, no, I grew up in Midway.
Yeah.
I can relate. 500 people.
Yeah.
And I can remember as a, you know, 13-year-old walking down Main Street, the Main Street with, you know, like a rifle and a shotgun. We would walk through the middle of town.
Yeah.
And nobody cared. And we'd go camping for 2-3 days. And nobody would know where we were. And we were just out in the bush and doing our thing. Fishing. We'd do all those things. And, it was a pretty kind of loose lifestyle, but really kind of cool in a way too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we used to cross the border. Midway's on the border, so we used to go across the border all the time too. And sometimes we didn't actually use the border crossing. We just walked down the creek, and they knew it, and they'd say, hey, next time, guys, can you just come through here? It's changed a lot, right?
Go tubing down the river and just be like, oops, we went too far. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So that's kind of cool. So yeah, so small town stuff is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Any big memories from... How do you pronounce that again? Fauquier?
Fauquier.
With your last name and Fauquier, that must have been
fun,
right?
It's just, it's just
Andreas
a yucca flux. It's
Lerkner from Fauquier.
Yeah, exactly. Just that simple, right? That's easy.
It's easy. People are just like, yeah, you know what, Andreas.
Yeah. And even that, like, you know, you go through Starbucks drive-thru or whatever, and it's just like, oh, what's your name? It's like Andreas, and then it comes out. I always get Chris.
Oh,
yeah, it's that's just what it is.
Andy must be pretty common too, no?
Nah, not so much. Mm. It's actually funny. I kind of figured out how to hack my name. And my wife called me out on it. She goes, you figured out how to hack your name. And so when I meet somebody, whether I'm selling cars or somebody new or whatnot, you know, I'll say, oh, my name's Andreas, just like the fault down in California.
Mm, there you go.
And yeah, sure. Then all of a sudden they've...
It clicks, right?
It clicks, and then it's pretty much on. But
well, I can also relate to the last name because, you know, both of us having kind of a unique last name. The cool thing is you get all the social media handles you want, right? If you
use that's right.
No, yeah. Nobody's using those.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, how would someone... I mean...
Is there another Andreas Lerkner out there? Probably
no,
not, right?
But I mean, I had just come back, literally, we were talking about this from the gala event, and I remember when I was watching the standings, there was one other Andreas in the standings, and my competitive spirit's like, no, there can only be one Andreas at the gala.
Right.
So it was funny. But yeah, back to small town stuff, I find it instills, you know, kind of those homey things like your integrity and your honesty and kind of all the wholesome side of things. It's just really kind of pounded home, and your sense of community, it's so tight, right? And so you end up valuing that quite possibly more than if you do live in a metropolis where, you know, your area of upbringing is so vast. Right? It blew my mind when we were in Montreal. There was, you know, it's like 1.5 million people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, where do you start and stop? And so,
yeah, and for me too, the small town values come in from, you help everybody. Like, somebody's in a ditch, you pull over and you help them.
Yeah.
You don't drive by anybody. You don't, you don't leave somebody. And tons of things. If somebody's out there doing their yard, you go out there and help them. Yeah.
And you know them. You're like,
yeah, oh. You know everybody. And yeah. Even if you don't know them, you help everybody. And I can remember, for me, some of the reality checks when I came to Kelowna. Me and a friend were getting some lumber at Rona. And we pulled out of Rona and we didn't tie down our load. Bad us. And it spilled out. The 2x6s spilled out all over the Springfield Road there. And, you know, there's probably like 50 boards all over the road. People wouldn't even stop. They drove over the boards. Do you know what I mean? It's a different kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like the boards were inconveniencing, but not enough that they couldn't drive over them. Right? So they just like, they couldn't even wait for somebody to clear it because it was just like in their way. So it's just like, and I reflected back to a small town, like everybody would have stopped and actually helped load it back up as opposed to driving over them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of a different feel. And I got that too when we lived in Northern Alberta and stuff like too. It's a, you know, in Alberta, if you're behind somebody and they're driving slower, they just pull to the shoulder and let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, sometimes, you know, out here, you'll end up with, you know, like, they'll speed up where there's a passing lane and slow back down when you can't pass. So it's kind of weird. But I think those small town values would be great if everybody had those.
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Kelowna, 2006.
2006.
And then did you start right away with the automobile dealership?
No. When I first moved here, I just graduated high school and I decided I wanted to take on a trade. So I began in the world of drywall, steel stud framing, insulating, T-bar sealing, kind of everything encompassing for what they would call an interior systems mechanic is kind of what the title is. And after a couple of years of doing that on my own, or after a couple of years doing that with somebody, I decided to go on my own. And kind of always had that entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And to the degree, like back in high school, I even owned my own clothing company, right? Oh, wow. It was just lots of just different things. And so I was like, no, I can do this. And so I did that for quite a few years. You know, I had met my wife and she became pregnant. And, you know, how do you go from a two-income household to a single-income household? With about, you know, 9 months of preparation. And
find stability and income as opposed to feast and famine kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. And I had a friend who was in the oil field who just said, you know, you tell me when you want to come up and you've got a job. And so I did that for a few years just to, you know, help make sure that the house is taken care of. And again, same thing, you know, start at the bottom, climb your way up and all that good stuff. And then we had the downturn a few years ago with oil crashing and so on and so forth. And the company that I was working for, they were doing some pretty hefty wage decreases. And it got to a point where I just said, you know, I can make this money or more back home, mm-hmm. back in my trade.
Where I am with my family.
Yeah. And so I can do that. So I think right now that's just kind of a reactionary mm-hmm. moment. And so I came back home, started doing that. And I'd always had a passion for sales and always had a passion for selling and always at the same time had a passion for vehicles and automobiles and all things with wheels and motorcycles and all that cool stuff. And so I looked at my wife one day and I said, listen, this is kind of where I really want to go. And she said, okay, I will support you on two conditions. The first condition is whichever store you land in, you know, our family has to come first. And I agreed. And she mm-hmm. said, so the way that you're going to show me that our family is first is you're going to be the top sales consultant in 3 months or you quit. Make me that deal. And so I said, okay, that's fine. And I made her that deal. And by the second month, I was the top sales consultant. So that kind of secured my my foot in the door in the automotive space.
You had good motivation.
Yeah. Well, it's literally, yeah. I mean, you jump in 2 feet and you don't look back, right? And
I love that. That's great advice. You'd pass that along to other people. Just like,
yeah.
Yeah. Just get the wife to give you the marching orders and say, do it.
Like, absolutely.
Hustle.
Yeah, she's the CHO, right? Right. So you put, you know, and so... She said, this is the line. I'll let you kind of chase your passion and I can live with the ups and downs of commission life. But this is what it has to be. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I stepped up to the plate, made it happen. And, now, so I started at the store, halfway through 2016. And so that doesn't give me a full calendar year of 2016, but then I was the top consultant for 2017, 2018, 2019, and here we are in 2020. So
that's... And you just got to go to Montreal to the big gala, and that was probably because of your performance.
Yeah, so Mitsubishi, they take such good care of us at a corporate level, and Rick does an incredible job. Another small town value feel. It's a family-owned store, not one of these mm-hmm. Auto Canada stores, big chain branch stores, right? But at a corporate level, if you're one of the top 10% performers for the year, they end up sending you to a trip in Canada and full meal deal.
I've seen it on Instagram. Looks like you were enjoying yourself.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. They put us up at the Four Seasons in Montreal, and that's a whole other experience as well, too, right? Like, we had left the room to do something. We came back and they had, you know, I had my charging cord for my iPhone and they had wrapped it up with a little Four Seasons emblem, like cord there and just everything.
So you got high ended there.
So, yeah. I was like, what is this? I don't even know what I'm doing. So
there's that entrepreneurial spirit that obviously comes out of you, and now they call it intrapreneur or something, where you're not actually own the business, but you're actually an entrepreneur in a business. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously, like, maybe tell me, like, how do you go somewhere and become the top salesperson in 2 months? Like, what makes you different than, say, somebody that's been there for a few years or the people that have been there? Like, how do you find the drive other than your wife saying you have to?
Yeah, a few things there as well. I mean, the biggest thing I find is just period drive, mm-hmm. right? When you kind of, as you're saying, an entrepreneurial, when it's a business within a business, I have the upper hand, you know, mm-hmm. Unlike you, Jim, like everything here sits on your shoulders, right?
No, for sure.
I don't have that weight. So I don't have that fear. Like I can just go, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to put out the money for the inventory. I don't have to put out the money for advertising. I don't have to do that. Now I do a lot of that other stuff to kind of further my own name, but it's not necessarily required. And to directly answer your question, where that comes from is just a place of, you know, kind of recognizing certain skill sets. And I find empathy is a huge one.
Well, you're a people person. Right? That's pretty obvious, right? So I think that goes a long ways, right? So
yeah.
If you show you care, obviously people want to deal with someone that care.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they show that they care. Because if you're just treated like a, you know, a number or a, you know, a marker, whatever you want to call it, then people just can sense that and they don't feel important. Everybody wants to feel important, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And putting people first is the biggest thing, period. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I've been in positions where I was sitting across from them and I said, well, Andreas, what do you think I should do? And I'm sitting across the table. I said, I think you should not buy this car. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I genuinely think. Mm-hmm. And those people have gone on to not buy cars, but then send me three or four people mm-hmm. who have. Yeah. And so when you actually just stop and think and care about the person that you're talking with, everything else will just figure itself mm-hmm. out. I think it's just bad business to just be like, well, you said you wanted your payment at XYZ and the payment's below. And you're like, well, you said you would do it, so why aren't you doing it or whatever? It's like, stop, listen, hear them out, put their needs before yours, which is really not that hard. Mm-hmm. I understand why people don't, but it doesn't work. It's just bad business. It just mm-hmm. doesn't work that way. Yeah.
So what inspires you? Like what kind of gets you kind of all energized and gets you up in the morning and says, I want to take on the day? Like, cause you seem like I've known you for a little while here.
Yeah.
You seem like a pretty, no matter whether you're like pushing mud around on a board or you're selling cars or just interacting, you seem to have that energy.
Yeah. I'm really excited for the Level Up Summit this year, right? Having Gary Vee speak. And, you know, one of the things that Gary Vee always says is, you know, the immigrant hustle, right? Mm-hmm. Like having that, you know, I came from Germany. When we lived in Cherryville, I didn't touch on this before, but when we lived in Cherryville, I lived for a year and a half with no power, no running water, like nothing. Like mm-hmm. you had to go get your water. You had to go split your firewood. You know, you had eggs in the morning, but you made your fire in the little... It's kind of like a wood stove, but then it has a flat top on the top and you've got your cast iron and all that, right? So having just that natural, that's the position you're in. You've seen where you've been and mm-hmm. you kind of recognize, you know, the potential that where you want to go and not giving up on that. It's funny on Facebook, you see, you know, oh, this 10-year memory or whatever comes up and it's like, wow, this mindset that I had back then is the exact same mindset now, but look how far I've come.
And I'd say the same thing because I think the same way as I was a 12-year-old and I've experienced my mom and dad came from Hungary in the revolution and came with nothing and had, you know, and you know that, I mean, they were throwing Molotov cocktails at tanks and stuff and, you know, like crossing borders and doing all kinds of crazy things and giving up their life and never being able to go back because, you know, the communist regime after that.
Yeah.
And then we lived with one room shacks and picking fruit with, you know what I mean? Like we did what we had to do and there was a lot of no money and a lot of just getting by. And we didn't really even notice it, I don't think. But I think that kind of helps actually because, and I think I respect the pain and the suffering that my mom and dad kind of went through. Do you know what I mean? It's still close enough to me because the stories are pretty real. And where they, you know, I think to me, I always respect that hard work ethic. And I think maybe that's where that comes from. And Gary Vee talks about that too, because he come from, you know, Russia and stuff like that. And, and you know, he respects that hard work. He knows they were living in a one room apartment. That's kind of the fuel that he uses inside of them. Right. So I think that's important sometimes for us as parents to pass that and instill that into our children too. So they don't forget because they're, you know, they've obviously have a better life than you do, but you got to make sure that they remember, you know, where they could end up too. Right. So
Absolutely. And I mean, even with my daughters now, they'll say, oh, Dad, I want to go see the new Frozen movie or whatever. And I'll say, okay, well, you know, a movie ticket costs $10. How are we going to come up with $10? And teaching them the value of that. And so my oldest, she's all about, you know, recycling and making a green future. And she's really motivated that way. And so she says, well, we can recycle cans. And I'm like, what a great little hustle for a 7-year-old picking up cans and, you know, returning that. But teaching our next generation the value of hard work and, you know, again, it's not always about money, but like to understand that whether you're putting that hard work into your studies, whether you're putting that hard work into a business, whether you're putting that hard work into, you know, flipping burgers, like to do whatever you can. Like one of the things we say in our household is, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so if you're putting your best foot forward in everything you do, well, it's all going to work out.
So. There was a U.S. general that said that, or admiral, I think, and he said the biggest thing that drove him from a private was He made his bed every morning, and he made it perfect every morning. And so he knew that he had done one thing perfect, at least that day.
Yeah.
And then he moved on the rest of his day, and he used that as his guiding principle. So with that, do you have some guiding principles that kind of guide you?
Well, what I had just said, right? How you do one thing is how you do everything. That is a major guiding principle. And I find that if I'm, you know, just in the middle of a hectic day and I want to make sure that, you know, if I'm putting 110% in at work, you know, when I get home and I'm tired, you know, I still have to give 110% for my kids, and I still got to give 110% for putting, you know, time and energy into my wife. And, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger said, you know, all of his, what, his seven rules or whatever, right? And he's like, oh, you've got this many hours in the day, and, you know, well, you know, that only leaves us, what, 6 hours of sleep? And what does he say? Oh, we'll just sleep faster.
Yeah. Right? I agree with that. Yeah, sleep faster.
So,
Arnold's going to be in Edmonton, actually.
Is he really? Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw there was another keynote or something like that.
Yeah, no, I think he's done an amazing job in what he's done. He's done a lot of great stuff, and they told him. I mean, he met a lot of roadblocks, too. But who is your favorite kind of mentor? Or do you have somebody out there that you kind of follow or read or just kind of blend stuff or...
Yeah, I think it's kind of the chameleon. Do you do Enneagram stuff at all? Do you do
Enneagram?
An Enneagram? No. So it's kind of like a personality trait quiz thing, but it is scary accurate. And in a nutshell, my Enneagram, my strength is this ability to become a chameleon in kind of any position I'm put into. And so I take that as well, too, from... kind of the motivational, you know, kind of mentorships out there, whether I'm talking with another high performer in my industry, and they're like, okay, well, you try this or try that, or, you know, or the Gary V's of the world, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or, you know, again, right next to me, always knocking on me, my wife, like she is probably, and it might sound kind of cheesy, but she's probably the biggest inspiration for me realistically, because she's been with me when I was that, you know, 19 year old that was like returning cans for gas money. But she's always kind of had these quips of wisdom and knowledge that, you know, she'll drop, and she you know, we'll be talking about something and she'd be like, well, we'll do this. And I'll almost be offended because I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And she's like, yeah, but you don't have this perspective. And so she's kind of the number one inspiration. She just keeps me so accountable. It's great. Yeah.
You talk about the younger you. If you could go back in time and talk to the 20-year-old you, is there anything you'd say?
Absolutely. you know... Hindsight's 2020, right? I would encourage myself at a younger age to pursue what I want to pursue more seriously.
Go all in.
Yeah, go all in. Absolutely. And there's power in that.
Put yourself out there.
Yeah. I think I was just scared. You know, have all these dreams and aspirations in my head, but not really know where to go. And I realized that now when I came, you know, when I came back out of the oil patch to follow my sales career, I also didn't know where to go. So
yeah, you probably didn't picture yourself no in a suit all the time, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't. No, definitely not. And now I love it. Now I'm just like, oh, this, but
it's a different life, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's awesome. So with, like, you're kind of happy where you're at. Do you see plans? Is there change 10 years out, or is it just kind of like you just kind of keep doing this, or where do you see yourself going?
Oh, it's like a roadmap, right? I would love to grow in the industry, and, you know, and actually my wife and I were just talking about this last night. You know, do I want to kind of focus in and get into corporate and do, you know, national sales training, or do I want to be a district sales manager, or do I want to be ground level store manager? Do I want, you know, and at this point, there's a bit of that kind of humble arrogance. It's like, I feel like I could do any of it. Right. And it's just, okay, what's the roadmap? What works best for my family? What works best for me now? You know, do I want to stay in the automotive space? Which as of right now I do. But what does this look like as we kind of evolve and life evolves and whatnot? I think that ultimately, I think that that salesy entrepreneurship is going to be the staple in whatever I do. I've just, you know, when Gary Vee talks about, Eric Thomas, E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher.
Don't know that one.
Yeah, look him up. Powerful gentleman. His big thing that, you know, I would listen to his mixtapes while it was like hanging drywall. He says, find your why. Find your why. Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you do this? Why do we do it? And I know we covered a little bit of that, but Eric Thomas, find your why is always kind of in the back of my mind. And my why I do what I do is because I want to help people. I want to help my family. I want to bring my family to the next level. And that's kind of the cornerstone of it. And throw me in whatever industry and I'll figure it out.
So, awesome. Yeah. So while we have you here, and I know you work for Mitsubishi, what's going on in the automotive industry? Like what's, to me, I see a lot of change coming. I see, you know, there's talk of autonomous cars. There's talk of, you know, electric, and then most people are now having an electric fleet. You guys have an electric car, hybrid, or like what's going on and how do you see that changing in the industry?
The industry is going electric. That's just plain and simple. Whether we're doing or what we call a PHEV. So Mitsubishi, we have the number one selling plug-in electric all-wheel drive SUV in the market.
So that's full electric or is it a hybrid?
It's both.
It's both?
Yeah. So it's one of these vehicles that does kind of your first 35 to 60 kilometers of pure electric range. Kelowna is the perfect market for it.
For a commuter.
Yeah. Vancouver's perfect market for it because you do your daily driving, your pure electric driving, right? You come to the Landmark, you plug in. You know, and the other thing is we have so much infrastructure people don't even realize. We have a lot of infrastructure for this stuff. But yeah, you know, you drive around. But if you want to go to Vancouver, you know, a base model Tesla can't do that, right? And so then you just go and you just do it. But you're still getting your all-wheel drive. You're still getting your ground clearance. You're getting enough space for the family. You know, it is an SUV, so you got the big hatch. But in general, the automotive space in general is moving electric. You know, I think by 2040, the BC government has kind of mandated to be a pure
electric. I got a tough question for you.
Sure.
Seeing how you're in the industry. How does Tesla have a bigger market cap now than Ford and GM combined? How did they let Tesla come and eat their lunch without doing anything? Do you know what I mean? Like they basically, they have very little offerings, and General Motors used to be the largest corporation in the world. There was a book that I read back in 1980, and it was like, on a clear day, you can see GM. And basically back then, GM kind of, and there's a bunch of other stuff in General Motors at the time, but it was, if, you know, if GM caught a cold, everybody else had the flu. And it was kind of the way the world worked. But, you know, for some reason, they didn't see the writing on the wall, or they don't see what's going on, or... And it's, you know, Tesla, which, you know, like a lot of those people, and I can show you quotes from other people say they won't last, they won't do this, they won't do that. And he's proven them all wrong.
I think the two big things for Tesla is the first thing that they do incredibly well is they put their clients first, period. They listen to what people are wanting.
And they have very little selection. A red one or a green one or a blue one or whatever.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, hey, do you want this much range? Do you want this much range? Do you want this? Hey, do you want autonomous driving features? Oh, you do? Okay, here you go. Right? I find, and I mean, I'm an import guy, right? Repping Mitsubishi. But GM, or the big three, GM, Ford, Chevy, they're resting on their laurels, right?
Dodge, you meant, but yeah.
Or, sorry. You know, they're like, oh, we've got this big reputation and we're just going to take the steam that and the propulsion that we've built over the past, you know, 90, 100 years, and we're just going to let that do its thing. Again, back to, you know, why I feel I do well in the space is because I stop, I listen to my customer and I say, okay, great. If that's what you need, that's what I'm going to get you. Whether it is a Mitsubishi or any other brand, right? Because I've, you know, that's the other side of At the store, we do an incredible job keeping every other make and manufacturer, like, on my lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I've taken a couple Teslas in on trade, actually. Yeah. So, but yeah, that it comes down to, you know, they're listening to what people want and they're giving people mm-hmm. what they want.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far into the car stuff, but if you have any questions on the automotive industry, I'm sure Andreas can absolutely help you out and educate you and tell you which way to go. But I'd just do some quick fire here.
Sure.
Just to kind of wrap this up.
Sure.
Love to do this kind of stuff. Favorite place you and the wife like to dine? In Kelowna.
In Kelowna.
Yeah. You can't go to Vancouver or something.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Oh, man. Like, favorite treat or favorite...
If it's just you and the wife, not the kids.
Like, yeah, but I mean, like place we frequent, or like
well, if it's an event, like, okay, if it's just sure. like, oh my God, it's her birthday, I'm taking her to.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it simple and say Cactus Club.
Nice.
Yeah, Cactus Club downtown.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful view, can't be beat.
Beautiful view, can't be beat. Their steak is incredible. Don't want to hate on any other.
Good food, yeah.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Good food, and they got good ambiance.
Yeah.
People are trained well, they got good training programs, everything. So, yeah, no, we've hired a few people from Cactus Club because they have good training programs.
Yeah.
They invest in their people, for sure.
Yeah, when we were saving for our wedding, I served at Cactus. So, oh, there you go. A little tie there as well.
Some loyalty there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what about with the kids? Do you guys go anywhere different, or is it still Cactus Club?
Yeah, the kids can come along.
There you go. Is there a book that you would suggest somebody read? Like, if you had to pick one book out and say, hey, you got to read this book.
Emotional Intelligence 2.0.
Who writes that?
I'm not sure. Just Google it.
Yeah. Just Google it.
Yeah. Emotional Intelligence 2.0. You know, just in any facet of life, I think EI is way more important than IQ all day long. Yeah.
So movie, is there a movie you watch Ooh. Over and over that you love that...
I'm not a big movie guy, but the John Wick series, they guess.
Oh, you like that one?
Yeah, they're good.
So who's playing you in your movie, like the story of you?
I don't know.
Who's the movie star, John Wick himself? Or like...
Yeah, Keanu Reeves, absolutely.
It's probably like the worst actor that's got that went the farthest. That's my opinion. It's proving everybody wrong.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I guess a couple last questions is what's going on in the world right now that scares you?
That scares me?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I think I'm too positive for that.
There you go.
I think just the at a ground level, just kind of our school system, I guess, for my kids. Not that it's not doing a good job, because I love our teachers. They do an incredible job. But just to understand, like, you know, when I look back at my life and being like, oh, really? Like, you know, I didn't learn how to do taxes. I didn't learn how to do
this. Yeah, like, some of the basic stuff.
Some pretty basic things that you need in life, right? Mm-hmm. But nothing kind of major, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So the last question, you love Kelowna. You're looking out over Kelowna.
Absolutely.
If you're making a pitch to your friend that's living out somewhere else, and what, like, if you had a couple sentences for them, what do you say? Like, you got to come to Kelowna because...
Don't.
Don't?
Don't. Don't come to Kelowna.
Keeping it to yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a secret.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kelowna's growing so fast, right? Yeah, like, even from
I think the secret's out, though.
Yeah, I think it is. No, I mean, if you're just a pitch to Kelowna, I mean, it's the California of Canada. It's... it gives you everything you want and more. There's a premium attached to living to Kelowna, but we pay it because we absolutely love it here. It's it's small town enough. It's big city enough. It gives you the amenities if you want to go.
I say it's a small town, big city amenities.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, and I think, you know, you can't have road rage here. I advise you not to, because that may be the person that you're next in line at Starbucks or, you know, Tim Hortons or something.
Absolutely, yeah.
That you're going to remember the people you see here. It's not like, you know, like Calgary or Vancouver and that, where even if you do see them again, you don't remember because there's so many faces. In Kelowna, it's pretty familiar, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, where everybody knows your name. It's kind of like Cheers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, or anything you want to ask or anything when we wrap this up?
No, I want to say thanks, Jim. I appreciate your time. Means a lot to me to be able to put myself out there, come out of obscurity a little bit. And you know, if anything, just tell everybody to go check out the Level Up Summit. Really excited well, thank for, you that. For that. And if you guys need any automotive help, I'd love to help you out.
That's awesome. And I thank you for coming in.
Appreciate it.
And bye now.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
If you'd like to be part of this podcast, we'd love to share your story and your road to now.